Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am your father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 171. The one you've been waiting for.
It's the big one.
The big sequel that everyone's been waiting
for. My big fat Greek wedding.
No one left us any reviews. It's all your fault.
Yes, this is what happens.
So
what
I'll just go right into the synopsis. We pick up right where we left off with the first one.
20 years later.
Right. It's
not 20 years.
She's still Greek.
They're still big in personality and big hair.
It's not 20. It's like
are you sure?
13.
Oh, it's probably like,
wait, so
know.
What?
Yeah, like 10, 12, something like that. Yeah.
No, it's more than that.
It's 2003, I think.
I saw the original on my honeymoon.
I was in Block. I was still working at Blockbuster.
So you definitely
not
got remember.
Like a year ago?
No. I get to go to the sneak previews, but I don't get to see him a year early. I mean, I'm a big deal, but I'm not that big of a deal.
So whose wedding is it? I mean, does anyone know?
It's the daughter.
Is it?
They have a daughter.
Oh, okay.
And no, it's not hers. It's the mom's. It's the grand. It's like it's a total Isle of Lucy plot. It's you find out that the parents, like the old parents,
right,
the old people,
right,
find out that like the priest didn't sign their marriage certificate.
They're not married.
And so, yeah, like for real, that's an honest to God episode of Isle of Lucy.
That is an episode of Isle of Lucy. Yeah. That absolutely is, yeah.
You got some splendid to do.
So, I mean, it's just,
they're deporting Ricky.
Yeah, it's,
I really can't wait to pirate this movie.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really like, but I'll say this, if you liked the first, if your aunt is asking you, should I go see this movie? The one who wears ugly Christmas sweaters,
right,
non-ironically.
Not on
like
Christmas.
If she's like, should I go see this movie? She should absolutely go see this movie.
And not
it's fabulous, darling.
If you liked the first one, that nothing has changed.
Well, that's why it beat Batman vs Superman at the box office.
Yeah.
Wow,
totally
highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding too.
Hey, that first one made $245 million.
That was just
and it didn't have
up
a single weekend over what $11 million
something
or something.
Like that.
Like
that. Yeah. Just kept chugging. So, but before we dig into My Big Fat Greek Wedding too,
olives are expensive, and that was during some kind of embargo on bringing them into the country. It was a whole thing.
So. Is olives? I thought that was an Italian thing.
It's Greek olives.
Olives. Okay. I don't eat fruits or vegetables, so I. That's true.
It is true.
I haven't eaten a fresh fruit or vegetable since like the Reagan administration.
A non-jellied version of
not
fruit.
Even that.
Do you know what an olive is?
It's Popeye's girlfriend.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Blake.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Was that my trick ear? It sounded like someone said Blake. Is that what occurred?
It's the ghost.
He's actually a flash drive. We actually programmed him onto a
How about that?
It's just my personality imprinted onto a Superman flash drive.
He's actually signaling like a runway guy. You know, he's like, go here, go left, go right. Open this door.
We get Ghost Dad 2.0.
Are you coming from the future to tell us about this movie?
He tells us
too late.
Warner Brothers has tanked. Like in 5 years, they've just gone completely way under.
It was a different time during the Man of Steel. You could make a Ghost Dad reference and not have it be
true.
Rapey.
Yeah, that's so true.
And we actually found out he was talking before the show that Marvel actually owns DC now, so they're just making Batman movies.
If nothing better could happen.
Yes. So, shameless plug. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, and review us. If you just stumbled across us because you typed in Batman versus Superman in iTunes or something, thanks for coming in. And you can subscribe, and you'll get all these wonderful things just show up like magic in your music rectangle box. I'm kicking it old school.
Yeah.
This episode, like that.
Yeah.
And League of Show Shares. I forgot to pull them off, so it's going to be a little slow. But let me blow through those. You have Ali Rudis. Rudis?
That's a new one.
That is a new one. And yeah, I apologize if I said your name wrong. Linnea.
Hey!
That's it.
Hey.
Ding, 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 ding.
Thunselli. So close. Brett Schulte, Ryan Breidenbecker, Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Tammy Sherman Powers, Jason Antras. Yes. I know I'm saying it wrong, but yeah. Lane Levanway, Chris Sanders, Chris Sansucci, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and then we get into us. I'm scrolling through this in real time, so it doesn't count when I share the show.
Because you have no one following you, or
because of course I share it.
Nobody,
I work here.
Yeah, nobody cares what we share.
Yeah,
it's just like we're just shills for our own.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, they're sharing this stuff again.
Have you checked iTunes? Is there a review?
I have not yet.
There are two new reviews.
Hey!
We're gonna have to do Batman versus Superman.
But
now
everybody tune in for my Big Fake Red Wedding too.
We're gonna have to do it. We promise.
We'll do like a 171.1.
Let me finish these. Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith. Timmy Two Zunes, Chari, woof, this is Chari Vandalariz fan fiction.
That was a weird part.
Is
that his Christian name?
I believe. I don't know if he could be
Hebrew. I don't
think
he's Christian.
I don't know. Lane Levanway, right?
Yep.
And.
No, it isn't.
Disneyland Max.
No!
He's back. Disneyland Matt has
so
returned.
Good.
So he was doing some deep espionage. They opened the new Harry Potter
park at
Universal.
Okay.
He had to go there, and it was his job to just sneak up behind kids and break their wands.
just to be safe.
There's $48 plus tax down the drain.
And spitting their butterbeer.
Yeah. He's like, take that, you little... You little a-hole.
Yeah.
You little chicken noise. And they're like, little chicken noise? What does that
make
mean?
Sense.
And then if a kid would be like, you listen to Real Spoilers? he tapes their wand butt together.
That's nice.
It's really nice for him to like.
Can you notice that we're recording this later in the day?
Because we're
much more awake.
More awake.
Yeah. So that's nice of him, though, to like, even though they've chosen Universal, they can still bond over Real Spoilers.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently we have two new iTunes reviews, and Kevin has them at the ready.
We do. Our first review is titled BVSVRS.
This is their way of saying,
we're taking on
I'm posting this review under duress.
Yes. Please do your Batman episode. Been listening since Man of Steel.
That's old school.
Yeah. Hilarious panel of movie buffs providing... They're saying we're buff?
I know nobody's ever said that about me.
Because
I was naked.
Hilarious panel of movie buffs providing great content if you like this week's movie or not. Bad movies make for some of the best episodes. Looking forward to Batman v. Superman v. Real Spoilers.
How about that?
Hey.
Oh.
And our next review is from OK Librarian.
I wonder who that is.
At least they're modest. I mean, to pick the name OK Librarian.
Right. Like, she doesn't want to be braggadocious.
Right.
I used a big word because she's a librarian.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Exactly. Good. Come for the spoilers, stay for the rambling digressions is the title.
It's pretty good.
Not quite the Seinfeld of movie podcasts. Real Spoilers does eventually talk about the movies in great detail. The show is like sitting at Denny's in the booth next to the group of opinionated guys who just got out of the late showing and who are combining their detailed opinions on the movie with asides about the nature of the universe that are often more interesting than the film. Highly recommended, smiley face.
How about that?
Although if we had hash browns, it would be
pretty awesome.
I think these reviews would be better.
I hope we shower more than the guy in the booth next to us.
Yeah.
Wait, which guy?
Well, this is an upscale Denny's.
Okay.
What?
Is there an upscale Denny's?
Well, it's all relative.
Right.
I mean,
IHOP. That's an upscale.
No. Right.
No. Really?
Well, slide for Denny's. Yeah. We're grading on a curve.
I don't know, man. I
think
I
slide across the floor
it's
as you
like
walk
being the
in.
Smartest Kardashian.
I don't know, going to First Watch.
I'm not anti-IHOP, by the way. I just don't know if, like, IHOP may be above Waffle House, but I don't know. Denny's and IHOP.
I think it goes Waffle House, IHOP, Denny's.
Yeah.
Or no, Denny's, IHOP, First Watch.
Well,
and then
that's like
sneaking into the Days Inn Continental Breakfast.
Well, I was gonna say original, then maybe
the original Pancake House is gonna be.
Wait a minute, no, we did Denny's versus, or sorry, Denny's v IHOP.
Denny's was a sponsor of Man of Steel. They
killed about 50 people in that Denny's. So
that was the cholesterol.
See if Denny's were smart, they would have made it an IHOP.
That's true.
So right as somebody's ordering their Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity,
I think it was IHOP. You're right. It was.
You
IHOP,
get to meet actually. Superman, but he will kill you.
He will punch through your face. Yeah, that's what happens.
I don't know.
So that's, we got two reviews. So we got to do bad.
Now we have to do two episodes.
But
about
we're
it,
rocking
right?
this episode old school, so it will contain our box office report. So we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin,
an abacus that actually is up to date.
I know, right? Yeah. We're doing it later. So I think by now everyone has heard, despite critic reviews, Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice brought in $166 million domestic, another $254 million overseas, bringing the worldwide total to $420 million.
Well, this one's not getting a sequel, huh?
Yeah. The biggest superhero opening of all time.
I thought they adjusted that down.
I thought they did too.
They thought it was on projection to do like 180 or something.
It dropped to like 170,
and then it dropped
or something.
Yeah, 166 is where it ended up. They were saying 175 over the weekend, so it's down to 166.
Yeah,
but it's up to 420 worldwide again. The biggest superhero opening of all time
for now. Remember when Jurassic World had the best opening of all time, and we were like,
yeah.
Yeah, right.
When Star Wars come out?
Yeah. It also has the number one March opening weekend, the number one spring opening weekend, and the number one Easter opening weekend of all time.
So. It also has the number one crappy movie opening of all time.
It also has the number...
Transformers might have it.
That's the only... That's all I could think was the entire time I was like... Freaking Transformers.
Michael Bay ruins everything.
I also believe it has the number one fastest drop from Friday to Sunday of all
time. It does. I knew that there was like a big drop.
Save the best for last.
I mean, I know a lot of people who normally see these movies and I'm like, did you see it? Like, no, I don't really have any interest. I'm like, oh, okay.
Which is amazing. It's the biggest superhero movie of all time and you still have people, if
they hadn't added Batman,
This would have been bad.
Well, it's got 80.
It's got tepid reviews. It's
tepid.
Yeah,
you're being gracious.
Yeah, it's the word of mouth is not that great either. I mean, the CinemaScore got like a B- on the way out, I think, which is really low for
CinemaScore people. They love everything.
I mean, it got the same CinemaScore as Elektra. If that gives you any indication to how low B- is.
I know. Where do you rank those people? Hate Greek theater.
Where do you rank that? Where do you rank that in the Marvel stuff?
Elektra?
Yeah.
Near the bottom.
Punisher Warzone, right? Like, that's the worst.
I don't know. I think Elektra and the Marvel film universe ranks right along the lines of...
Catwoman?
They made one of those?
They somehow got Jennifer Garner to come back?
Yeah. Does she get naked in it?
No, not watching it.
Are you sure this wasn't a porn parody?
Elektra exists solely to fill out those four-pack of movies. It's this one, and Elektra! And you're like, oh crap.
Now, to be fair, with the, you know, tepid reviews of this movie, you know, it's got a 7.5 out of 10 from the users on IMDb.
Yeah, that'll drop real quick, though.
154,000 users, so I mean, it's not like it's out of a tiny amount.
IMDb always starts out really high, and then once like people see it on DVD and stuff, it goes down to a little bit more realistic rating. But IMDb, the top 250 of IMDb has been a joke for about the past 5 years because you have basically fanboys upvoting, you know.
So there's no like
recent releases all the time.
There's no what's the word? I guess control, where you just be like, vote it today and again today and again today.
As far as like,
you
can only vote the ballot once. Box.
Okay, yeah,
to log in. But
okay.
And then Rotten Tomatoes, 72% of the audience out of 170,000 liked it. So I mean, audiences
would like to see it, right?
No, liked it now that it's out. But so you know, so audiences are obviously taking to it better than critics. It's not saying it's getting 100% or anything, but you know, obviously it made money. People are seeing the thing. So.
Yeah, it's gonna have a big second.
It's a shame because I was hoping this was going to finally shove the stake through the vampire heart of Zack Snyder and Warner Brothers. And it's not.
We were talking about this before the show. Like, you were saying, like, oh, maybe they're going to steal Justice League out from under him.
I was
not
hoping,
with the biggest superhero
opening
of all time.
We were saying that on Friday.
But if it drops enough in week two,
yeah, they might.
They, you know what I mean? They might look at it and say,
dear George Miller,
I still
you succeeded in spite of yourself.
Right. I still think this is going to do a billion worldwide.
There's no way.
I think it's going to.
Okay, maybe.
It made 420 in one weekend. I think when it rolls out all across, I mean, this is one of those international movies that's going to just make a ton of money. It's just because of the title.
Zack Snyder's like,
but once again, it's just because of the title, not because of Zack Snyder. In fact, I would argue that Zack Snyder made it worse.
But he's at the helm of a movie that makes $1 billion. I mean,
yeah,
they're not going to kick
him out.
Off
of the name, not off of him.
You know, Zack Snyder's like, is there any more Frank Miller stuff out there I can direct? Does anybody want to see a Ronin movie?
I know he's going to be like, doing Ronin.
I would watch that.
I do, but I want it to be a miniseries on HBO.
That'd be fantastic.
But don't forget, there was a time when Jeff Goldblum was the highest grossing actor of all time.
Yeah. Great point. He was like on like just one major summer release after another.
Right, but nobody went to see them because of Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, yeah!
And if Jeff Goldblum is listening, I apologize, but I think you know that.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
You don't open a film. Right. Like you know, but he happened to be, you know, so I mean,
I agree.
I think he succeeded in spite of himself.
I think that's absolutely correct.
And I think a big mistake they made was making this movie 2.5 hours long, because when they saw what a POS this movie was, they should have adjusted that runtime so they could get more screenings in.
Cut out
and
all the
I know that
stuff.
You can put it on more screens now than you could before, so that's not as crucial as it used to be, but I still think making this movie come in at 2:05, like you get one more screening a day per theater, you multiply that by 3,000 screens.
I think like, they had to do that runtime because they just promised so much, like you're going to see Aquaman and the Flash. Well, and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that stuff was like 3 minutes.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing is they're trying to jam up as much as they can.
But don't worry, there's a longer version coming.
Because I want to see a 3.5 hour cut of this. Yeah,
I love the theater. If only there was more crappy stuff to watch.
What it needs about 1/2 hour more.
Yeah.
Well,
more dream sequences.
If only I had a few more plot holes.
Well, just wait. The extended cut's coming out.
I think the extended cut is just Zack Snyder masturbating feverishly to his own dailies.
It's so good. It's so good.
So beautiful.
Number two at the box office, Zootopia.
Somebody's like, could you at least finish on Wonder Woman?
There's already a clip online. DC posted it today of a preview of a deleted or not.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
So it's Steppenwolf, right?
Some soup.
It's Steppenwolf.
Then there's a mother box.
Yeah.
There's
two. Mother box. Three.
Yeah.
Two. Oh, he's got one in each hand, but there's
and
one.
A third one.
Where the hell did he get that from?
It's on his.
Yeah, and it's
in the box.
But it's
in the mother box.
Like,
mother box.
I was like,
he is from Kansas.
And then the sequel, Mother Box. It was
like,
perfect.
Yeah. To me, that's something that, if you know the DC universe, mother boxes are basically a device of the new gods, and it's a big deal. That's not something you just introduce with nothing.
Well, it couldn't be any worse than the parademons, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. I would have thought it would have made more sense to at least reference it or something before all of a sudden you're throwing five of them in there.
Well, I wonder if they do reference
it.
But
five demons or is it parademons? Somebody needs to make up their mind.
I wonder. They do reference it, but I wonder where that scene was cut.
You guys want a short box office report, right? Let's blow through this. Number two, Zootopia came in with $24 million, a 35% drop in week four. I think that was coming off last week and having like a 22% drop.
Yeah, it was
so
a tiny drop.
This thing is just doing amazing.
I think Disney's happy with this one.
Yeah, $240 million domestic and another $456 million foreign.
Oof.
Where
are we seeing another
from?
Disney Renaissance right now?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I think we've been seeing that.
Absolutely.
Started with Rapunzel, maybe.
Tangled.
We said it started with.
You started to see the Princess and the Frog.
The uptick with the Princess and the
Frog. I think
Tangled
is where
Tangled
really
was the first
and
one.
And that's when what's his face took
Lasseter.
Over. Lasseter.
Yeah. Lasseter took over halfway through the Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
And that's why that was better than it could have been.
Yes.
But it wasn't quite there yet. And then And
well, it was a remake of Song of the South before he came on board.
Right, yeah.
So they,
they're like, can you fix this with the voice of Mel Gibson and Bill Cosby?
And he's,
Bill Cosby was the princess.
Yeah.
It was really weird before Laptop came on board.
They're like, this new Bill Cosby cartoon, just the kids keep falling asleep.
How do you think that a frog would get a princess to kiss it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it makes sense, right?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Boy, so, I would have loved to have seen the tie-ins on that movie.
Rohypnol?
Yeah.
Thanks for ruining Fat Albert, Bill Cosby. Yeah.
Thanks for ruining my childhood.
Pudding-flavored Rohypnol.
His sidekick, Roofy.
So, Zootopia, $700 million in 4 weeks. I mean, that's
awesome. Good for it.
Incredible. Yeah. Number three, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. Unfortunately, we won't be talking about that today, but know that it made $17 million opening weekend.
Well, that's less than what they originally estimated, too, huh?
Yeah. 8 million foreign, so I guess they did a simultaneous release.
Wonderfully in Greece.
Yeah. It's all Greece. So, yeah. $26 million worldwide on that one. Number four, Miracles from Heaven made another $9.6 million in week two.
So close.
$34 million domestic, though, so it's on a $13 million budget.
You know, that Affleck paycheck just got cut in half. That's what that is. All go half, the other half's going to Jennifer Garner.
Oh, he signed on to that deal. Well, he didn't sign on to Batman and then divorce her.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no, that's probably true.
You know, he was like, I don't think this is going so well. Like, yeah, I
should just do this now.
Well, why don't we go ahead and put a fork in this now, and then I'll sign. I'm going to sign the divorce with the left hand.
That's why they didn't announce those Batman movies right away. They were
She's like, why did you sign the divorce papers, Batman? That doesn't make any sense.
No, I was just
Bruce Wayne. I don't get it.
That's weird. Number five, the Divergent series Allegiant made $9.4 million in week two. That's a 67.5% drop.
I can't believe that's not making more.
$46 million domestic
awesome.
On that one.
That's
70
awesome.
Million foreign. It's up to 117 worldwide. But they are
they cut the budget
on on the fourth
really?
One. They cut the budget because of the dismal box office. So
that's gonna make it so much better.
Yeah. You know what? It might.
I guess that's true.
I think part of the problem with this movie is because they do all these effect shots, and
it's unnecessary.
You don't care. Like, it's, you know, like,
the director's not allowed to do anything. Yeah, I guess I kind of feel that. Like, he has to be more creative.
Why do you guess it's a he?
Because look, come on. In fairness, the series is failing, so it could very well have been directed by a woman.
It's true. that's a great point. I didn't think about that.
Trying to,
No.
Well,
totally
it's actually directed by a Wachowski, so I mean, it's hard to say.
Now I don't even know.
Jump ball.
Weird story.
You guys remember when we had good reviews on iTunes? We just lost them all.
They can't delete those, can they? Right. Number six, 10 Cloverfield Lane brought in $5.9 million in its third week. It's a 52% drop. That's up to $55 million domestic, 12 overseas, $68 million worldwide on an undisclosed budget. But did we look it up? Was it like we thought it might be 30?
20 to 30.
It was low. I think it was 18.
Yeah, it was low.
Oh, right. Okay.
Number seven, Deadpool, still sticking around. Week seven, $4.8 million, a 38% drop. It's up to $350 million domestic and $396 foreign. So that's up to $745 million worldwide.
That's awesome.
Yeah, a ton of money on that.
Totally deserves it, too.
Not bad for an R-rated movie.
No, this one. Not at all. Referring to Deadpool. Not bad at all.
No.
Number eight, London Has Fallen, still sticking around in week four, but with $3 million, a 55% drop. It's up to $55 million on its $60 million budget. No foreign.
It's more like London just kind of tripped.
and was
able to catch themselves. Like, oh, man. That was almost embarrassing.
That was close.
So what? Is there going to be a sequel? Will it be a third?
Yeah, it's Portland Has Fallen.
Number nine, Hello, My Name is Doris, with $1.6 million. That took a 67% increase in week three with $3.2 million domestic. What is that?
That's the Sally Field movie, I believe.
Oh, okay. Oh,
with her and the guy
right.
from New Girl.
Which guy?
Schmidt.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Did you see her rip Amazing Spider-Man apart?
Yeah. It's not really my thing, but it was a friend.
Like, the check clear. She doing it for like a dying friend or something.
Yeah. Friend was the producer. It was her last movie at Sony.
Yeah, it was Uncle Ben.
So.
That's who. The dying friend. Oh, never mind. But yeah, I thought it was awesome. And she was like, no, it was terrible.
She's
both
like,
of those are awful.
Now that I know I won't be in any more of these things.
Like Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
hotter. Number 10.
Do you really want to lust after Aunt May?
I never thought I'd say that would happen, but it's going to happen. Right. I mean,
it kind of already happened for me with Sally Field.
I don't blame you.
So? Not at all. I'm a child of the 70s, man. Smokey and the Bandit, Sally Field.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't care if she is 65. I'll bring the Boniva.
So they just...
I'm in. I am in, sir.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. End down.
Yes.
So they just stepped it up.
She's eastbound. I'll be down.
There it is. Very good.
Good. And rounding out of the top 10.
Good froggy style. See, if you really know you're Smokey and the Bandit, that's a funny joke.
Rounding out of the top 10, Joe's favorite film of the year, Risen.
Oh, yeah. The
are we still talking about me and Sally Field?
Hey!
That was the dirty movie Joe was watching right before this. $935,000. It is up to $36 million on its $20 million budget, $2.9 million in Palestine. It's up to, overseas, worldwide, $39 million on a $20 million budget.
You know, Joe Fiennes can't wait to play Michael Jackson with that. With the
I heard in Palestine like that movie was a real suicide bomb.
Hey! Ooh. Wow. All
was
right.
That too much? Yeah. I mean, go too far.
Yeah.
Not for this show.
This
not
is why we should record these things in the morning. Right.
I get
much more offensive later.
All right, let's make fun of disabled people next.
Now, I do have some sad news, guys. I know that we usually only go to 10, but at number 13, falling way out of the top 10, Star Wars The Force Awakens only made $816,000, a 15% drop. It's up to $933.6 million domestic.
That's some good theater money.
Yeah.
How many screens is it on?
Let's see
it's
here.
It's probably dollar shows
in the week before it comes out on home video.
Right, that's exactly. 1 week before home video, it's in 552 theaters.
That's a lot of theaters.
So, which tells you exactly how many dollar shows there are in America.
Right. Yeah.
There are 552.
Where did the Revenant fall?
Because drive-ins. Well, they had a handful of drive-ins.
Yeah. And Star Wars made a little over $1.1 billion. It's over $2 billion worldwide. And the Revenant is number 17 with $446,000, $182 million domestic, $323 foreign. So it made $500 million worldwide on a $135 budget. Okay, cool. So. And that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So that's it for this episode. Next week. So I guess...
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
So I guess we will now tackle... Batman, Superman is who gets top billing? Superman,
Batman.
No, Superman does not get top billing in the movie that was supposed to be his sequel. They were like in pre-production. They're like, you know, this was supposed to be a Superman sequel, but nah.
You know what? He's gonna have about 1/3 of the screen time as the other character,
and we're gonna make everyone not like him.
Yeah.
He's gonna be awful. Hate to see these crazy kids getting divorced so soon.
You like, yeah,
gay marriage has only been legal for like 6 months, and they've already wrote it off in a ditch.
Yeah. I guess Snyder's voting.
It was
for
just
Trump.
Awkward when Cavill was there, and he's like, "Why is Ben Affleck hanging out? Oh, yeah. Why is he? Reason he's really buff. No, don't worry about that. He's like, he's taller than me.
How come
it's okay?
How come his trailer's bigger than my camper?
Why does he have a trailer here?
Wait, how come he gets a trailer and a camper, and I get that fold-out shit? I don't understand. Well,
you get to share it with Jesse Eisenberg. That's cool, right?
Yeah, Gal Gadot's like, see ya, suckers.
Now, before we get started on the second movie, it's been 171 episodes, and I just wanted to give everyone a little bit of refresher on where we stood with Man of Steel.
Okay. I'm going to let you speak your piece,
but let me play through these real quick, all right?
Are these audio files?
They are.
That first episode sucks audio, like as far as audio goes. Like, we've stepped our game. We've
sucks in every way
up.
Possible.
Yeah, right.
We're playing these clips so you don't have to go listen
to it. It sucks in every way possible, except for we knew how to sit at a table.
That's true.
Yes.
We were kicked ass at table sitting.
Coming in, I was really worried that they were going to try to duplicate what they did with Richard Donner's 1978 Superman.
They didn't do that.
They went a completely different direction. I thought it was a breath of fresh air to get away from that, to get away from Superman Returns and the Superman movies of old.
How many of those
looked beautiful?
It did look good.
I loved every piece of this movie. There's very few things that I didn't like.
Joe.
It was a nice start to hopefully something bigger down the line for Warner Brothers and DC Comics.
Now, Joe, were you 10 when we recorded that episode. Yeah.
Apparently my balls dropped between 1 and 171.
Now, I think we all know where Blake stood. Blake was very upfront in saying that he was on the... I mean, the first episode, I know everyone's opinion kind of went downhill, but Blake said, there was a lot of stuff I didn't like. There were some things I thought were okay, but he was very upfront with his opinion.
I feel like we're running for president. They're bringing back like from... from our past.
Now, so
I don't think I've ever even officially said what I've felt. So,
so we know what Joe and Blake thought of it.
I, too, was a fan of the movie. I kind of, thought I knew what to expect once Nolan was involved with it, Goyer was involved with it, and then when Zack Snyder was brought on board. Right. For years, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, I honestly thought that maybe Michael Bay had his niche in a Superman movie. I kind of thought I knew what to expect, and it fulfilled those expectations.
Little did you know.
I feel like I'm being
fresh,
edited.
It was. And we've talked about this. We'll probably talk about this more. I felt like I understood where it was coming from, and I understood that they were creating sort of the basis in a way that... Casino Royale, and maybe even more so Skyfall, establishes what the character will be from now on.
So that was Dan's. I think we all know where I stand. I still enjoy Man of Steel, so I don't need to be repetitive with mine. And then here's Tom's opinion.
Man of Steel.
It's a wonderful
film. Yeah, it'll win Best Picture.
They've been on a roll, but this is their best.
So that was a good refresher. So that's where we were at with Man of Steel. Yeah. So now Batman v Superman.
Nice.
Yeah, like I was actually...
I call shenanigans.
it's on the audio drive. It's fine.
Yeah, it's totally... That sounded totally normal is what that sounded like.
How many different podcasts did you have to go through to find all this? Yeah. I don't think your four different quotes... I don't think you could find four different films that I liked. Yeah. 170.
Yeah, actually, Kate the other day was like, Tom really doesn't like a lot of the movies you guys watch.
No, he doesn't.
No. I do not.
So, anyway, proceed.
Yeah, so...
do you want to defend your opinion, Joe, of the everything you loved about Man of Steel? Or?
So, I, as I've said on previous shows, I've gone back and I think I was caught up in the... You know, I will say I'm a Superman fan. I'll be a Superman fan forever. So, getting a Superman movie, what was the first... Returns was 06? Is that right?
Yeah, something
like that. 07?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
It was 06, I think.
So, and then Return, or Man of Steel was 12?
Yep.
So, okay, so I had 6 years of no Superman. I went into that movie super excited because I like Zack Snyder. I had liked David Goyer until that point. And I was caught up in the, I think, in that movie. And I own it on Blu-ray. I've watched it a few more times since then. I think there are good parts to that movie. I think Henry Cavill, I think Henry Cavill is Superman. Like, if you take the character off the page, like, that dude looks like Superman.
Well, he's certainly more Superman in that movie.
Yeah, he's saving people in that one. I think... there are certain scenes in that movie. I like that the oil rig scene, I think, is really cool.
I think it's a fantastic looking movie. I think even there's parts of this movie that look pretty good.
Yeah.
Although I think Man of Steel was a better looking movie than Batman versus Superman.
I agree.
Zack Snyder is, I mean, he as a visual auteur, he's very talented.
Yep,
visual.
I think Sucker Punch is one of the best glorious messes I've ever seen. Like, I watched it twice. When I first saw it, I was like, I gotta watch that again. And I was like, that's not very good. And I even like sold it to Ellie, like, it's not good, but man, does it look
awesome. It looks awesome. Yeah, I just bought the director's cut.
It's just
and it
like,
looks cool.
It's just visually stunning.
It's weird, like, as shot down and as awfully reviewed as that movie was, Warner Brothers was still like, hey, let's give our biggest superhero to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a good idea, right?
He can handle the large scope of something.
Let's keep in mind that Warner Brothers has a long and rich history of really effing up their franchises.
Yes.
Such as Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Can you really call that a franchise, though?
It was going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the same studio that gave us Catwoman.
Yeah. That's
true. They ran Batman off in the ditch back in the 90s. I mean,
I wonder, like, they don't have a guy like Kevin Feige, do they?
No.
Like, I mean, I have to believe that Feige is the reason.
The difference, and I think you're seeing this model adapted more and more, is that they're treating the movies like television shows.
Yeah.
And so they're basically instituting showrunners for these franchises. And that's why you can make 8 Harry Potter movies and have them feel like they're from the same people. You know what I mean?
It's connected.
You also had, remember at Marvel, last couple of years, there was a lot of rumors of Feige having a lot of fights with some of the executives and stuff. And I think Feige basically, a lot of the showrunners basically at Marvel stood up and said, hey, we're making you money. Like, we know what we're doing. And it looks like it might have worked. I mean, I think there's still some studio involvement.
They succeeded in removing their own managers.
Well, yeah, like they, but DC has never been able to do that. And I think if you gave the reins over to people like Jim Lee and Geoff Johns and people like that, like they say they did, you wouldn't be having the problems you do now.
Yeah, I think that actually goes to show just this past weekend, if you know about the comic book industry, you know that DC was kind of getting their asses handed to them as far as comic book sales because they did this new 52 initiative and it alienated a bunch of readers. So this Saturday at WonderCon, they were like, look, they didn't say like, look, we know we screwed the pooch on this one, but they pretty much said, look, we know we screwed the pooch on this one. And they're doing this big rebirth line. They're bringing back some pretty top tier talents. They're reverting their characters.
Are they continuing with where I have to buy 18 million issues to be able to keep up with the story? Everybody has stopped reading comic books.
They're going to some books will go to twice a month bi-monthly shipping. Other books like the Zack Snyder All-Star Batman, no relation to All-Star Batman and Robin, is going to be a monthly book. But I mean, they're lowering the price. Everything, they're doing this 80 page giant issue, $2.99.
Going back to the giant issue,
just one. Yeah. They're doing this one to
say, an annual.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's their entire line, every book, $2.99. Like that's a huge, huge deal considering Marvel's at like $3. Anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I think those Dan DiDio, Geoff Johns, Jim Lee have the comic book stuff. I don't think they're allowed to touch. I think Johns is kind of involved in the TV
stuff.
Well,
Jim Lee's supposed to be involved in the cinematic.
Supposed to be. And we saw how well that turned out with like his costume. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is that there's no synergy between the DC comics and their films and
or their TV shows.
And that's why Marvel's excelling, because they have these universes that all mention each other, that all tie in. And DC's just like, we're going to cast this different person and this person because it's different universes and it's a mess.
Well, what makes no sense is that DC has the greatest, I think, latitude in having a TV and a cinematic universe, but just like they could have Earth 1, Earth 2, and that would make, and they could explain it that way, and the fans would like it on the TV realm on Flash.
I don't watch TV shows,
so on the Flash they have Earth 1 and Earth 2. So the Barry Allen that we know is Earth 1. They have Jay Garrick has been introduced and all these different characters on Earth 2.
But what I'm saying is make the cinematic world one of your Earths.
Make it a crime syndicate.
Or with Suicide Squad, one of your Earths.
Welcome to Earth.
And hopefully that's just a bad dream sequence or acid trip.
Right, But you could, you know, and then at some point, if you could even have them collide, then that would be a big deal.
It would be a huge deal.
Like, there's nobody thinking like that.
No. And that's the other thing is, like, DC has always relied on the multiverse. Like, that's a cornerstone of that company, where everything you know could change, like, you know, in an instant because it's on a different Earth.
Right.
So I think you're right. Like, having the multiverse implemented into their TV comic book
and the fans
world.
Would love it.
Absolutely.
And it wouldn't feel like a cheat if somebody else did it, because the diehards are used to that concept.
Well, I don't think they're tying them in, and maybe they will go to that eventually, but I think that's how they're explaining the Flash having different actors, is because they're saying, oh, well, there's lots
they
of different
weren't
universes.
Explain anything until people are like, why are you casting somebody else when this guy's great?
Right, but that's the thing, is they're not they're explaining it. It's the same mistake they made at the end of Man of Steel with the We Destroyed Metropolis, and they're explaining it in press releases. They're not explaining it in their goddamn movies. You know, and like, that's the problem. Like, you got to put that stuff on the screen.
What I said to someone the other day was, so Marvel has taken steps with each movie to move forward. DC is doing the equivalent of, you ever played that Quap game where you have to do the
QWOP, and they're like moving all around. They're just trying to do too much at once.
Yeah.
And they're not taking that step to actually explain things. And one of the reasons why the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there's a lot of that fan service that's there that isn't explained, and it's noticeable to people like you and me, but it's not distracting.
Right.
But then they're also building up the important pieces and laying those eggs there that basically are going to come to fruition, you know, movies later.
And when the people that aren't like, oh, that means this is going to happen, when they go back and rewatch those movies in 5 years, they're going to be like, oh my God.
Exactly. Yeah. They're in front of me the whole time.
Right.
Well, like Marvel, you know what's funny about that is like, as along the way, there have been times where I was like when Captain America was coming out, I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that off. And they did. And then it was like Thor, and I'm like, oh, I don't know about Thor. I mean, it's like they're doing good, but I can't see Thor working.
Kevin, do you have Thor. My sound bites on Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, keyed up for Guardians too.
Right.
You know, so every step that they've like pushed it, you know, they've sort of pushed the scope of, you know, what's acceptable to people. Because, like, you know, with Iron Man, they started out, he like literally built an iron suit. So
right.
Nobody's like, whoa. You know, they didn't, you know what I mean? And like, also, they pushed that to the point now, like, you know, even Ant-Man, I was kind of like, I don't know. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to shut up.
Well, they've done
because like, now they got Doctor Strange coming, and I'm like, yeah, cool.
Doctor Strange in like soon.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, see, because the thing is, they've got us now, and that's where DC's making the big mistake.
They've done the proper world building.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They've set a background that, hey, things are a little chaotic, they're weird, you know, science is further ahead than what we are in our own universe. Like, so things like an Iron Man suit make sense in Marvel, whereas like in DC, I don't know where
they're
stand.
They're just like, suck it, this is how it is.
Well, also, in a DC's universe movie, whenever there's like an advancement in technology, like they have to have a reason for it, and they have to explain the reason for it.
Which is
Marvel's got
all coming from Nolan,
right? And Marvel's mature enough that they like. I mean, I don't mean like emotionally, but as a universe, it's mature enough that it can reference its own plot points,
right?
And then it doesn't feel like some random psychobabble sonic screwdriver plot device for why this works. It's like, oh no, well this works because it's made out of an alloy, but it's made of adamantium, and this, and you're like, oh, I know what that is.
Yeah,
I know
at a certain point, you're like, the ether.
I know the MCU can't say adamantium.
And ether or tesseract, like. You know, even it's though vibranium. It's like at the beginning, you're like, Tesseract, you're like, what's that?
And they show it, you're like, Tesseract, oh, it's a cosmic cube.
It's a Tesseract.
But the other thing is each one of those movies, the Iron Man movies, the Thor movies, the Cap movies, they all feel different.
And they all work on their own.
They do. Yeah. And
if you see the other stuff, it makes them more enjoyable. But if you don't see the other stuff, it doesn't make it unwatchable.
Right. They reference stuff, and it's not like they just like, hey, that thing in New York. You don't need to know, but like an Iron Man movie doesn't feel like a Captain America movie, and a Captain America movie doesn't feel like a Thor.
Remember that time Batman worked? Let's make a Batman movie with every hero.
Batman.
Like, let's make them all dark and brooding, and you know, with a lifeless color palette, and let's not make it at all like the character.
Which is the issue that I take is like, I get that like your dark and gritty Batman makes sense. I am all for dark and gritty Batman.
Yeah.
Dark and gritty Superman doesn't can work. Like, the advantage that Batman and Superman have is they
are... Dark and gritty Superman could work, but here's the deal. It would need to be an Elseworlds story.
Yes.
Or for people that don't know, the Marvel equivalent, which is a little bit easier to explain, is what if?
Right.
Right? What if this thing had happened? And so, it could be a great Elseworlds story, and I think at some point, the studios will be able to tell those stories, but... they're not there yet, and certainly DC hasn't earned the right to tell an Elseworlds story, because you got to get your core characters right first. You don't get to start with, let's do a weird mashup of Batman and Superman, because you haven't given us a good Batman and Superman.
No.
And
well, you've given us a good Batman,
but it doesn't coexist, it does not in this universe. And
correct.
So if you want to create this huge shared universe, then you got to give us good versions of those, of your core characters first. And I think whenever MCU finally runs its course, and they're done making that movie, whether it's phase 4 or phase 20,
phase 72.
Whenever that kind of peters out, I think they could and maybe will start giving you what if movies, because it'll be an easy way to go back and be like, you know what, we can't get Robert Downey Jr. for another 4 pictures, but we could back up a truck full of money to him and say, what if Iron Man you know, that's died in an incident in New York or whatever. You know, you could do that, but and it would be a great way to bring people back in for one more Iron Man story.
Right.
You know,
right.
Where you can just go crazy because you don't got to work. You don't have to worry about making six more like you do now.
Just do a one shot.
But DC hasn't earned that right yet.
No, I think honestly, I think Goyer and I think and I'm not going to blame Chris Terrio because I know he came on probably 3/4 through the script process and he had to do what he had, you know, he could only do what he could with that script. And
well, Snyder has final say, so no matter what you do to the script, it's his universe.
I don't blame him, but I don't think Goyer, I don't think Zack Snyder understands Superman. Like that's what it comes down to.
Here's the other thing is I don't think they actually sit down and actually think through their choices. And there, I think I shared an article with you about Zack Snyder's interviews over the past few years about Superman killing somebody, and his answer has changed about a dozen times. Yeah. Now, if he had just thought through his character's motivations when they were going through the script process and the final read
of Man of Steel,
yeah, they would have not had the problem that they had. But they're doing it again. I mean, there's obviously lack of thought going into the character motivation. They're like, oh, this could lead to a good fight scene, but they're not saying anything. Their characters aren't thinking through their consequences, and the writers aren't, so it's making their characters look stupid.
Yeah, I agree. So I guess we should start. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, so at this point...
Or not start.
Well, no, this is the beginning of the movie. I mean, to be fair, none of us know the origin of Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Here's what I will say about that. It was a 2-minute sequence, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with...
him throwing a punch instead of...
Yeah, like, it's, you know, like, there are two different versions of Thomas Wayne in the books. Like, there's the Thomas Wayne that goes after Joe Chill, who's the guy that shoots him. Mm-hmm. Then there's the Thomas Wayne that kind of says, hey, you know, I'll give you whatever, and the guy flinches.
The Thomas Wayne that says... kill my wife, let me live.
Her name's Martha.
Did you know that?
I didn't know.
Neither did I.
Hold on.
Spoiler alert. Let's wait till the
magic of Martha.
It's the name of the show, Kevin.
Magical Martha.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't have a problem with that. So, like, actually, you know, the scene you usually get is Joe Chill goes to grab the pearls and pulls them off of her neck.
But we can at least all agree that the dream sequence of him being lifted up was stupid.
So they did a double fake on me. Here's the thing. Zack Snyder, that dude is so wackadoodle. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, Batman flies.
I thought it was,
thought it was real.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, oh, no.
Snyder gives him like what looks like guns like 8 million times in the movie just so he can troll comic book fans. You can tell he's doing that.
I was like, initially, they call him Bruce. When he lifts off the air, I was like, man, are they going to do a double switch and tell me that this is Clark's dream? Yeah. And, like, he's dreaming the bats, and, like, now the bats will come into play as, like, the one thing that freaked him out as a kid.
Flying up through the well thing.
Until he's, like, in the dream.
Let me explain it to you. He thought it looked cool.
You mean like when they shoot it from the bottom and like the kid turns and it looks like a bat?
Well, I was
clearly this looks bitchin'.
Nolan did something like this in his movie. I want it, but with flying.
Zack Snyder does kind of look like a bro, doesn't he?
Oh he's a total bro.
He is a total bro.
I respectfully disagree. He looks like a bra.
A bra. Yes, very good, very good.
But no, I thought that the opening, I mean, we know this guy can do visuals. I thought it looked good, the pearls, the slow motion gun, it all looks good.
I thought it was boring.
But freaking 20 minutes of the origin.
But how many times do we need to see
it? No, it's unnecessary. But
why?
My point is it looked good.
No more.
When we got to those bats, I was like, yeah, that's stupid. Well,
I mean, I did not like the graveyard. I liked seeing
the comedian.
Negan.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's always Lauren Cohen. Yeah, that was fine.
But
I also liked the Mask of Zorro.
We refer
poster.
To this as the Nolanverse, but it's not the Nolanverse.
It's not anymore.
If it was the Nolanverse, it wouldn't
suck.
We would have had that. We would have had, you know, maybe even a Batman that was actually John Blake. Like, I'm still kind of hacked about the fact that, like, DC had the beginnings of a universe.
Oh, absolutely.
Of a movie cinematic universe. And they decided, nah, we're not going to do that. And then they decided, okay, but then they also had, like, the beginnings of a solid, you know, TV universe. And they're like, nah, we're not going to do that either. Right. It's like, what the hell is wrong with
you guys?
That's
the thing is, like, there's no Kevin Feige there who's like, look,
we need to get this. Yeah. We need to get our house in order.
We're going to call this corporate synergy.
Yeah. But, you know, and also, though, I mean, also, Nolan may not have wanted his story that was a trilogy drug through the mud.
That's not his call.
It's not his series,
that,
though.
Snyder did say that they were going to do Batman, and because there was, it was in an interview, and Nolan's like, well, and there was apparently a long pause, and Nolan said, well, I mean, I don't. You can do what you want. It's not. I don't own the character.
But, no, but his but version though
that's
was
like,
a,
that's like Carpenter
but
saying.
But that'd be like Joss Whedon taking over and being like, you know what? That guy did something. I'm just gonna. We're gonna remove it and we're gonna start over again.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't Nolan have an executive producer's credit?
I think
not
he does.
This one.
I don't.
Not
think.
On this one.
No.
He did on the last one though.
He
right?
has a producer's credit.
He's on this.
Is he?
He's on.
Did he do anything this time though?
No.
I know last time
he did about as much as Tim Burton did on Batman and Robin.
To make your Batman references complete,
he just gets a paycheck from this one.
It's hush money.
Hey, which is a movie that would work famously.
Yeah. It's just freaking.
So let's get to scene two.
Yeah. So now we end up in Africa, and Lois and a photographer, an unnamed photographer, who they don't name,
who still uses a film camera.
I know. Film.
What
that was. Of course, as soon as he opens, I was like, "Yo, you're a freaking idiot!"
I'm like no photojournalist, especially in a deep embedded situation like that, is going to use a film camera.
How long has this treatment been kicking around? Like, is this the Kevin Smith one? Like that he wrote?
There was
in the
no 90s? Brainiac, so I
like,
think we're
I'm just
okay.
Like, as soon as I did the same thing, I was like, "Film?"
Yeah,
or as my mother would call it, "Film."
Film. So Lois sits,
but it's so cool to shoot on film,
I guess. So Lois,
he's a photojournalist, not a hipster.
Yeah.
Come on.
So Lois sits down, has an interview, and then they find so apparently the Russian in this movie is KG Beast. Yeah. Which they don't reference ever. So I have a feeling when we get to the other scene he may not be dead. But knowing DC, they probably
who knows.
They disemboweled him and strung him up somewhere. So they figure out that he's a CIA agent.
That run, so I could use
it's awesome.
I could handle that being a major character.
I'm sure you could.
It's not going to matter. They're going to screw it up.
Yes, it is, and that's going to drive the price of your books down.
It's going to be just as valuable as when Joel Schumacher gave us Bane.
That book that's still a good price book.
Thanks to Nolan.
That's also true.
Yeah. That book. At one time, the book was $40 or $50.
Yeah,
and then it went down to like $4.
Yep.
And then Nolan resurrected
like,
what
oh,
now
okay.
It's like what 25
you get like 30
yeah
on a near mint. It's pretty good. So surprise, they shoot this photographer, and who is this
photographer? You can't shoot us photographer. We will shoot you.
It turns out that was Jimmy Olsen.
So here's what pisses me off about Zack Snyder.
Like, why
have you seen
the signal watch?
Have you
like,
seen any of his quotes about
Jimmy Olsen? This is what I said. This is what made me extremely mad of his reasoning
on that, too. He said that it didn't fit into the universe.
That Jimmy Olsen didn't fit in?
And they thought it would be a little fun, basically.
Yeah.
So they thought it would be fun to kill a beloved character. Yeah. And Jimmy Olsen is pretty central to the Superman universe.
He gets adopted by Superman.
Here's, like, Metropolis. Here's a thought.
Number
two, Zack Snyder. Weren't you hired to adapt this story? Like you weren't hired to just kill off the things you didn't know how to make work.
Yeah, right.
Like making Jimmy Olsen work. That's your mother effing job.
They have a Jimmy Olsen character.
Yeah.
And it's a girl.
Yeah, she
which
was
is
in the
fine.
Last movie.
Like, if you would have just called her Jenny Olsen,
she should have been that character.
She should have been that character.
They shouldn't have also had one and just killed him off.
And they're like,
and his reasoning was that we already had so many characters that we didn't have room for him.
You
like,
know what?
So
you
pick that one to kill off?
So you don't show Cyborg, or you don't show the Flash. Like, that's... So anyway,
he doesn't need to be central to the story if you don't want him. But like, don't just kill him off.
Right? You could
just
have him in there,
yeah.
Or and have him in the background, and
he
then
killed
that's
him
good
off so
and
nobody can use him.
It doesn't have any like bearing on the story.
No,
that character
is worthless in the movie.
It was the decision of a narcissist for sure.
Right.
But that explanation was infuriating, and I have the quote here. If you want to just
we're going old school, so the hubris of
Zack Snyder, and you know I'm a Zack Snyder fan, but this is just asinine. We just did it as a little aside because we had been tracking where we thought the movies were going to go, you know, the next 10 movies they have planned out, and we don't have room for Jimmy Olsen in our big pantheon of characters, but we can have a little fun with him, right?
Yeah,
so we
shooting
kill
a beloved character in the head is super fun. Zack Snyder,
like, as far as like Superman's inner circle in Metropolis, like it's Lois and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Like that
and
is
if you really want to have fun with it, then say his name in the film. You know, like if,
own
if,
it.
If the thing is like we're gonna like then really blow our minds and be like, oh, it's Jimmy Olsen, boom, bullet to the head, and you're like, what the hell is going on here?
Right. Well,
like, that
could have
a major dramatic impact, or it could be a device, a storyline device that drives the rest of the film.
Sure.
Instead,
he was
it's
also
neither.
Supposed to be Jesse Eisenberg.
Who was
Jimmy Olsen?
Jimmy.
He read
That's
for Jimmy
who he
Olsen
read
originally.
For. What?
Yeah.
It was stunt casting. Because
wow.
they were, I mean, this was intentional. This isn't an accident. They were going to have him in there, and people would be like, oh my gosh, I love him. And then he'd be dead.
Jeez.
So they were going to have a more name actor. And after the.
Yeah, he was written out of the drafts, pretty much.
Yeah. And then after that, the casting call, because they, you know, Eisenberg was like, well,
I think Cranston even said, I was there. Like,
yes.
I was in it. I was going to be.
Yeah. And after the casting call,
God, that was
Snyder was like, what about him for Lex?
And
that's
I don't,
how it
like,
happened.
We'll get
he
into
read
him.
For Jimmy Olsen.
We'll get into his Lex Luthor.
Yeah, no,
so,
he read for Jimmy Olsen because it was going to be stunt casting. Huh. Like, you know, so he wasn't not just was he going to just wipe out a beloved character. They were going to get some sort of emotional investment from the audience because they're going to recognize this actor.
I still would have appreciated that more than just having a throwaway character. But at the same time, it goes back to this. It's not an Elseworld story. Stop fucking with what it is.
From what I've heard, in the extended cut, there's more.
That's what I've heard too.
Like they, so. Anyway,
but that this isn't the extended.
No,
cut,
it's
so
not.
It still
it's
sucks.
Not. It does still. The extended. Look, don't worry. The extended cut's gonna.
I mean,
suck
I was fine with that
for
being
at least
a
half
no name
an hour longer.
Reporter being killed. But when you say that it's a
Jimmy Olsen,
a beloved character, one of the most famous.
He had his own comic book at one point.
And don't they?
And Superman adopts him at one point.
Superman's best pal.
That's what I said. You just didn't.
Don't they end up saying that this whole thing is a setup by the CIA and the cameraman is CIA?
So no. So he is there using Lois as cover to get into this organization. As soon as Lois is taken captive,
so Jimmy Olsen has been a member of
the
CIA
the entire time.
Yes. Do you know what else they cut from the movie? The scene where Crypto gets hit by a car. Yeah,
it's a tough scene.
He couldn't figure it out. He's like, you know what? I'm just gonna have him run out of the house and get hit by a fucking vehicle.
We're gonna have a little fun with it.
It's a LexCorp truck that drives by. Right. Just plump, thump, just
and
right
Superman's
over.
Driving it.
F that dog.
No, it was Batmite.
Did you notice that there is Crypto in the film, though?
There is?
Yeah.
Well, there's a dog, but it's the dog from the first movie.
It's supposed to be Crypto.
Then why isn't it a white lab?
Because...
because
it's Zack Snyder.
He's having a little fun with it.
He's having a little fun with it. It's just riffing.
Yeah, just riffing.
We're all just friends here.
Sound like what a bully does?
It does.
We're just having fun, man. Yeah. Chill out, bro.
We're just having fun with this $400 million movie. It's about fun.
So they take Lois, and then the KG Beast hears the sonic boom of the Man of Steel showing up, and they kill everybody.
And apparently, so does every tribal native
everybody.
Everybody because
hears
they testify about it.
Well,
so.
I mean, I can see it's a sonic boom.
Yeah, I could see them hearing his actual entry. Like that makes sense. But so they kill all of the terrorists.
So
who kills all the terrorists?
The other guys that are terrorists.
Then they blame Superman for a bunch of people being shot.
Right. Yeah. So just to recap, he has a fight with Zod that has to kill tens of thousands of people.
They
erect a monument
to him. Yes, yes.
But there's collateral damage of an African terrorist. And just to recap, Americans can't find Africa on a map of Africa, and we're outraged. And there are congressional hearings 35 seconds later.
Correct. By the way, also he says he didn't do anything, but he runs that guy through a concrete wall.
He could have. Because that's what I thought they were gonna like. He grabbed
turned
him
around
and like spun, so he took the hit.
Or
and I know from a physics standpoint, it's not how it works, but it's comic book movie physics.
Right.
So I would have
where he like
granted,
ducks,
yeah,
he ducks in.
I would have
yeah.
granted them that, you know. But
and you know what? That scene, like the scene where he shows up, he crashes through the roof. And he stands up, and the suit, like, it's
these
weird.
Are African structures, by the way.
That's so, also, I mean, that's the way I was thinking. Like, it probably would have taken too much to
I'm thinking the building code in Naraba or whatever. Yeah. That's not a real African country.
No.
Because I'm an American.
I don't know.
Like, I'm.
It's the only time you see him in the daylight.
It's the only time that suit even looks remotely blue. Otherwise, it is black and
gray.
Yeah,
they're like, we made the suit a lot more blue this time. Like, did you?
Yeah.
So,
What she does, like, she drops her hands off. Like, she's got her hands on, like, the guy has her hand around her throat. She drops her hands, gives him a look, and he gives, like, almost a nod and a wink. And I was like, all right.
Kind of like Superman-y.
Like, that's, I'm actually okay with that.
He puts the gun to her head, and he's like, unless you want to see the inside of her head. Because I remember thinking, like, oh, he's seen her insides.
Yeah, don't you worry. And he's going to see him in, like, 10 minutes.
He's been up in her guts.
Yeah, up in them guts.
Yeah.
Like a shotgun right through her back.
Yeah.
That's where the kryptonite condom comes in.
Yes, that is the kryptonite condom.
Woman of Kleenex.
Like, he does, like, he gives her a wink and a nod, and I was like, oh, okay,
this is the point where you're like, hey, they brought back
that's
Superman.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, all right,
it's
cool.
It's going to be a little fun.
And this is the last time.
That's the last time it's fun. And he takes him out, and then she ends up like
he kills him.
Probably. No, he probably kills him. Like her journal gets like miraculously one bullet in it. Just one. That she's able to wedge out of the
Like, and again, one of these train killers is like a total spaz, and it's just like
stormtroopers.
Again, a handwritten journal.
Yes. Which actually,
she must have specifically requested a photographer who uses film.
Right? Yeah, right.
I'm surprised
right.
it wasn't just like a courtroom sketch artist.
This whole movie universe takes place in the 1920s.
It's
future.
Not 1938, Clark.
Yeah. Which actually, I didn't mind that.
That was a Perry White.
That was a fun line.
Yeah,
that was a good throwaway.
But no, it's just
you want to make a good Superman movie. You set it in 1940.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, and we'll get more into that, but it's like Superman thrives in that era.
It's called Wonder Woman.
But yeah, why don't you make a movie where he lives in a time that embraces that?
And
because I think you can make
Captain
a contemporary Superman.
Right, because it's Captain America.
No, well, like what Marvel, again, like I know we're going to talk about Marvel, but it's all we have. Like there's two companies, and one is doing really well. Yeah. Movies.
What
and the
about
not.
Image?
There's a rated R
Spawn movie comes out.
Todd is it shared universe.
Yeah, Todd McFarlane's been talking about that Image movie since 1997.
Spawn, Gen 13.
Yeah. Hey, I know.
Dude, I'd see a Gen 13.
Young Blood.
Yeah.
Brigade.
Supreme.
Just, I remember seeing around. That Spawn movie at a special preview, and I looked at my boss at the time, and I was like, I have all these books, and I don't know what's happening.
Nope, because they don't follow the books. But, like, so there is a book called Superman Birthright, and it is Mark Waid and...
That's where he becomes a pro-life activist.
Yes. Yeah, it's super weird.
Yeah.
But...
He bombs, like, 8 million abortion clinics. It's hilarious.
Super awkward.
Yeah.
But, like, where Marvel is taking Civil War, they took... there was something else. What else did they do? Like storyline wise,
I just can't stop thinking of the scene where he's like looking at the pregnant woman's stomach, and she's like, "Oh, can you tell if it's a boy or a girl?" And he's like, "I don't know, it's dust now."
Can't tell you. Sorry about that. But yeah, like there are stories out there, contemporary stories that set Superman in today's time. I don't disagree that a 1941 Superman movie would be amazing,
because I think the problem that they have is Superman, he's a Boy Scout. Superman's a boring character.
Let's just call it in the hands of the wrong people.
Wouldn't that be the best part of Justice League? Because that's a nice counterbalance.
Superman doesn't do well in a world of moral ambiguity.
Right.
And so to set him against Nazis.
I disagree.
I disagree with that,
I think that he is the most human of the... Like, they... For whatever reason, DC loves to harp on the fact that he's an alien. Like, I understand that he's from another world.
He got some when he was a baby.
The motherfucker grew up in Kansas.
Yeah,
he even says, he's like, I grew up in Kansas.
Yeah.
Because, you know, let's tell that to the government.
He's as much
idiot.
Of an alien as someone that gets adopted when they're, you know, one
week
old.
You know who's an alien?
From...
The Martian Manhunter. That dude's an alien.
Right.
You know?
Superman is a good old-fashioned anchor baby.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I don't think a wall is going to stop him, though. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, he
What if we made it taller? What if we made Krypton pay for that wall?
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think about that. I don't know if the council will
agree. We don't want your kind.
I mean, you can ask the computer where the bank of Krypton is now.
Well, apparently the computer will just let anybody take over it.
And we'll speak to you. And we'll speak to you in your native tongue.
Yeah, right.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, he is the... Where Ma and Pa, Jonathan and Martha Kent, are the reason he is Superman. In this one, it's like, nah.
He's Superman in spite of them.
He is.
Yeah. Don't go saving people.
You don't owe them anything, Clark. Just screw them.
And like, Kevin Costner is this close to going saving people's for the queers.
And his mom's like, they're
it's just the opposite of like the Donner.
Yeah.
It is the exact opposite.
They could remake the Donner ones and remove some of the campiness, but keep the overall tone.
Campiness. No, remember 1980.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's what I'm saying. Just update it, but keep that similar tone to what they actually have, and it would work. But they don't.
Instead, you get will believe a man can mope.
Yes. Yeah.
And you had, look at what they did, though. They were so smart. I mean, in the casting, you've got Brando, who's kind of, you know, aloof. That's weird. And then you've got Glenn Ford, who's kind of the all-American embodiment.
Yeah.
And it's those two forces are what shape Superman.
But, like, even in that
one. And then they did the switcheroo.
Yeah, in that one.
And Man of Steel.
You get, like, Jonathan Kent, where he is giving, like, sage advice.
Yes.
Where, like, Jor-El's
you are here for a reason.
Right. You're not here to throw touchdown passes. You're not here to kick football or to hit home runs. He's like, you're here for something else.
That's because
with great power comes great responsibility, Clark.
That's because in the original Superman, in 1978, his father... Right?
Yeah.
It was from the greatest generation.
Yes,
and
that's true.
This Superman's father went to Woodstock.
Wow, I never thought about that. That's that's a very good point.
Yes.
Is Costner even old enough for Woodstock?
I don't know. But
but I see what you're saying.
Don't undermine my point with facts.
But he'd be like,
that's not what we're here for.
Probably like a solid 10 or 11. Point.
Yeah.
We're both of them. Like, and even like, I was thinking, okay, now that Jonathan's out of the way, like Martha has always kind of been like the softer of the two.
But even her
speech
is like,
that's what we're saying. Yeah. She says, you don't owe them anything.
She goes,
like,
do this, or don't do any of it. What the hell kind of a speech was that?
Did you say do it or not? I'm confused.
She's like, you know what? Be your angel. Be whatever you have to be.
Or
be none of it.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Costner would have been about 15 during Woodstock.
All right.
So he could be there. He could totally be there.
Probably not be there, but it would have been his worldview.
Right. But yeah. Yes, you're right.
So they
scene two. They have
the hearings.
You forget that you see Bruce Wayne tooling around during the Metropolis.
I'll tell you what.
Thing.
That was awesome.
I thought that they were going to, like, it was going to be a major retcon, but they were going to try and justify the stuff that happened. Like, I thought, and I was like, okay, good.
Right.
Yeah. And then it still didn't make any sense.
That view was cool, though. It was a cool scene, like, to see his point of view.
Snyder could
it'd
do
be cool
scenes.
He needs to go back to being a visual director.
It's one of those things where I think overall I liked that scene because it right off the bat, you know that who he is.
Right.
Yeah. And so, like, that
but
scene that we see.
It is. We've only seen, one.
But, like, I'm saying I liked that scene a lot. I could care less about the stupid horse.
What horse?
Well, I don't know. Hey, no, that you shouldn't call Lois Lane that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. A horse dies.
When he runs,
that's different.
They have a random horse in the rubble just walking.
I mean, that's all post 9/11 stuff.
Yeah. It had
this movie
all post
9/11. This movie loves horses. If this movie had any more horse in it, it'd be Trainspotting.
I think it's spelled different.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, like, as much as he references The Dark Knight Returns in this movie.
Yes.
And as many times as they show a horse, and I was like, are you going to put Batman on the back of a horse?
Yeah.
Like, the one scene that matters about these goddamn horses, and
throw a horse in there.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Let's have fun with horses.
You know what? The horse was actually Jimmy Olsen reincarnated.
Let's throw Catherine the Great in there.
The Dark Knight Returns is an Elseworlds story, isn't
it?
No.
If you look
it's technically now.
Yeah. It wasn't originally. They didn't have Elseworlds back then.
I think it was always outside of
canon. It was outside of canon.
But they were always a little vague about it.
Until he did when Frank Miller did Year One, that brought The Dark Knight Returns into canon because that's like the bookends of his Batman story, and Year One is in canon.
But they were always kind of like, but we haven't gotten there yet, so who knows?
Right. It was like Kingdom Come. Kingdom Come was an Elseworld story up until Geoff Johns started on JSA, and they brought in like
the modern day reader doesn't always remember that when Dark Knight Returns came out, Jason Todd was not dead. So when you have a book where they keep going on about after what happened to Jason, and you're like,
what happened to Jason?
You're like, whoa, what happened to Jason? And then like 4 years later, something happens to Jason. You're like,
that's
whoa.
Miller was voicing, you know, pretty much everybody. People didn't like Jason.
That was
Todd.
A very
so Miller was like, I don't like him either.
Dark Knight Returns is like 86.
I thought Dark Knight Returns is 86, 87, and I guess
Jason Todd
89?
Was
9.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was he was definitely still alive.
Okay. It was like Miller, right before. Miller was just, you know, he was the embodiment of everybody's feelings, and he was like, eh,
we'll just bludgeon him to death.
It's in the future. I'm killing
the
him.
Best part
is
about
that, death in the family?
Death in the family, yeah.
That's 89, I believe.
Yeah. They bludgeon, like, you know what, fans? You liked it. You'll figure out what to do with Robin. And everybody was like, kill him.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just going to bludgeon him to death. I voted
to kill him.
I tried to call it after I bought those issues, which was way later.
Yeah. Were you what five?
No. What, do you think they were going to bring him back?
Little did you know.
Well, yeah.
In 1998, you called just to see what would happen?
Actually, that took me forever to find those issues for a decent price. So I probably didn't have those until like 2004.
Really? They weren't that expensive for a long time. They were like $4 or $5
each. They got the Mike Mignola covers.
Yeah.
It was a big
deal. No, I got them somewhere. But
they brought him back. That's when they skyrocketed.
Gotcha.
Back when Hush came out.
No. But after that.
Well,
the initial idea is that he was in Hush, and they brought him back for Under the Red Hood.
Okay. This is clearly going to go on for a very long time, so I'm going to interrupt things. So we've stopped the show. We haven't stopped the show. The show's still going on in the background, and we're yelling at each other about God knows what. But this conversation, it goes on for almost 2.5 hours, so that's a long podcast to expect you to listen to, and we're not going to. So we're going to break this up in chunks, little bite-sized chunks. Well, bite-sized for us, which is an hour-ish, right? That's what we do. So we're going to put a pin in this, and we'll be back in a day or two and with the rest of our Batman versus Superman special episode extravaganza. Jesus Christ, don't they ever shut the hell up, episode. So fear not. We're editing down. You're losing nothing. We're just making it a little bit easier for you to digest. So we appreciate that. Don't forget, in the meantime, we are available on iTunes. You can go there, rate and review and subscribe. Just because it's the end of a show that wasn't supposed to end doesn't mean I'm not going to give you a shameless plug. So review us. It helps a lot. It really does. We don't ask for your money, just your adulation. So you can do that. Join the League of Show Sharers. And you can do that at facebook.com/realspoilers. You can leave us a message. If you're outraged that we broke it up in two parts, you can do that too. We will be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail, quick like a bunny, for the rest of the Batman versus Superman episode. Until next time, you've been warned.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.